please? And also, will it make it more likely that other victims of sexual abuse will come forward as a result? The number to call, 0845 6060 973. In a moment, we'll be talking to Christine Hamilton, who has, shall we say, some checkered history with Max Clifford. But first of all, let's talk to our reporter, Lorraine Horgan, who joins me in the studio. Lorraine, you've been covering the trial. It seems to have been going on for an incredibly long time. The jury took 8 days to consider their verdict and came up with 8 counts of guilty. What was it? 2 not guilty and 1 undecided.
And 1 undecided, yeah. Just to give you a little bit of clarity on those counts and those verdicts. So count 1 involved a 14-year-old girl in 1966. The jury was hung on that count. Count 2 involved an allegation of indecent assault by a woman who'd been working in the same building as Clifford and Associates, and the jury found Clifford not guilty on that count. Counts 3 to 6 involved a 15-year-old girl who we spoke about in depthly earlier. That was the girl who met Clifford when she was in Spain with her family on a holiday. He spun this line, which it was actually done time and time again, which was, you know, you are a beautiful girl, I can make you a star. He told this girl she was going to be the UK's Jodie Foster. He then began a campaign of abuse once they subsequently came back to the UK. That lady wrote a letter to Max Clifford in, I think it was 2011, after she had undergone some counselling. That letter, which was basically her telling him what a vile human being he was, that he had destroyed her childhood, was found in his bedside table, and obviously that was a huge element of the evidence. Now count 7 then, Clifford was found not guilty of this one. This was against a woman who claimed she was assaulted by him in a cab after meeting him about a potential job. Count 8, guilty, a girl of 19 who was a retired gymnast, promised the opportunity of a reading for a new Charles Brosnan movie. Bogus phone calls again involved in that one. Counts 9 and 10, an aspiring fashion model, again promised a role in a Bond movie this time, asked to strip when she went to his office. And count 11, a woman who was looking for work as a dancer, was again talk about screen testing, guilty on that count.
Well, the sentencing is taking place on Friday. It's been tweeted by a lawyer friend of mine who thinks he'll undoubtedly get a custodial sentence. It'll be interesting to see what people's reaction to this verdict was. Do you know what the reaction was in the courtroom?
Well, basically, there has been a number of people there with him, people who've been working in his office, and friends and family, presumably. And there was crying in the public gallery this afternoon. His daughter, Louise, she's been there throughout, I think, most of the deliberation, certainly, and she was there during the trial giving evidence supporting her father. She was there. I know that when he came out, he didn't have anything to say. He stood up and said that he was told not to speak. He did stand for photos, but he was driven away quite quickly.
Lorraine, thank you very much indeed for that. Well, let's talk to Christine Hamilton, political and social commentator, who joins us now. Christine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ian.
Now, I said earlier you have a bit of a checkered history with Max Clifford. You better explain to our listeners what that history is.
Well, basically, we'd come across him in various ways, as one does, if you're out in the public eye. But in particular, which I think is what you're referring to, in 2001... we were very publicly arrested by the Metropolitan Police. It was all over the newspapers, television. It was the lead item. It was an absolute nightmare. Our house was searched. Our flat was searched. Our computers were seized. It was horrendous. Charges were never brought. But the person masterminding that, he didn't come up with the very original allegation, but the person masterminding it, who acted as a go-between between the girl who made the allegations and Mr. Fyed, who offered her £100,000 if he could, quote, make something stick on us.
And that was the business he was in, wasn't it?
That was the business he was in. It was this horrendous business. He knew perfectly well that we were not guilty. He knew that. He absolutely knew that, but he didn't care. What he then did, which was even more horrendous, he brokered a deal for the girl with the News of the World, and she got £50,000 for revealing her anonymity and describing in all the imaginative detail what had gone on. We'd never met her in our lives before. You can only wonder how much Clifford got on top of that £50,000. He knew perfectly well he was trading in lies, but he simply didn't care. And as a result of all that, I mean, our lives were completely devastated at the time. We ran the risk, if it had come to court and we'd been charged, if a jury hadn't believed us, we could have been the ones going to prison. I'm perfectly certain he will go. And one of the worst things about all that he did was, by treating this lightly, which he did, he didn't care, He just wanted to get at us. He made it that much more difficult for any genuine victim to come forward. I mean, possibly we now know he had an ulterior motive, but that's what that girl did and he did, was to make it very difficult for a genuine victim. So I'm not exulting at the news, because the fact that he's found guilty means that these girls have suffered horrendously when they were literally young girls. So it's not wonderful news or anything. I mean, it's horrendous news. But at last, you know, after a lifetime making misery for other people and not caring about it, he will at last get a taste of his own medicine. I mean, I don't have any sympathy for him, I'm afraid. I think he deserves everything he's about to get, and it's long overdue. I mean, he is about the most odious man it's ever been my misfortune to meet, and I've met some pretty grim ones.
Let's not go there.
You
also sued him for libel and won.
I think we're the only people ever to have sued Max Clifford for libel, and we're certainly the only people ever to have done it successfully. Yes, we did, because of what he said on live television about us during all that. But he got completely carried away because he disliked us so intensely. Yes, we did sue him, and again, he fought it on a technicality. He knew perfectly well that what he'd said was libelous, but he was not prepared to cave in. He fought it on a technicality through endless levels of court. In the end, it cost him £500,000. And we got a thunderous apology and a nice little check. Thank you. Not £500,000, I hasten to add. But he just didn't care how he rode roughshod over other people's lives, other people's feelings. He's an absolute bully, and we now know that he's even worse than that.
It's interesting you say that you don't have any euphoric feelings about this, because after what you've been through, you could be forgiven for having some, I would say.
I don't, because, I mean, the whole thing, it's just so ghastly what he did. I suppose I should be. People think I'm cracking open the champagne. Well, I mean, I'm not. Would be unusual. But I, you know, these girls went through the most horrendous experience, and that's why I don't feel euphoric about it. I'm just quietly pleased that at last he's going to get his just desserts. He really is an odious, loathsome individual, and a lot of us have known that for a long time. The wider public, I think, have known it for a long time, but perhaps we didn't realise quite how loathsome.
Christine, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. That's Christine Hamilton, political and social commentator. 0845 6060 973. In a moment, I'm going to be talking to Liz Dux, who's a lawyer who's represented many of Jimmy Savile's victims. I'm going to ask her whether she thinks that this verdict will mean that more and more victims will have the courage to come forward. Like your views on that, please, and your reaction to the Max Clifford verdict. 0845 6060 973. This is LBC. It's 4:15.
Ian Dale at Drive.